This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
It is 12:46 here. It is also Tuesday, the 1st of September here on Enterprise Biz Bites. I'm Christine Wong, and joining me in the studio is Arvind Yuvaraj.
Mm-hmm.
And today we are asking you, what is the most convincing online or phone scam that you have encountered? And we've got a couple of responses. First on Instagram, we've got here from Urban Vibes Malaysia saying, LHDN calling saying that I owe them money, which is actually quite terrifying because mm-hmm. I feel like I never know if I've got it right or not.
Yeah, the taxes.
The taxes.
For sure.
How about on Twitter?
Nothing on Twitter yet, but we have a few more on WhatsApp.
Nice.
This comes from Aushal, who says that my customer had been scammed where I had sent him pro forma for advance payment, but his email was compromised and he received the pro forma with different bank details. And the scammer had changed one alphabet, which looks similar to mine. He just replaced L with number one.
Oh, no.
Lucky enough, by the time advance TT sent, the bank account was closed and the scammer had done too many scams and the customer's TT was bounced. This was a couple of years back where many Yahoo emails were compromised.
Oof.
We have one from Heather who says that anyone else had the Post Laju scam? They say you sent a parcel and it contains something and they want your name, IC number and stuff, and offer to put you through to a police officer in KK. I think this is the automated phone call one.
Right.
So I've got this before where there's like a message of someone telling me that I have a parcel and it's in some Post Laju depot somewhere and I have to give them like my IC number to get it back. Something like that.
Okay.
This comes from Anthony, who says, received quite a lot of emails and SMS from banks indicating we have certain problems with our accounts and need to contact them at a certain given number. And also from the police station that we have a certain fine to settle. So again, fear. Finally, one from Maggie Bess, who says that it's only when one is in desperate need, dire straits, or plain greedy, that's when scammers can succeed. So I pray really hard I'm never in one of those situations.
Aww. Yeah, I mean, I guess. I think occasionally if you're just very, very tired as mm-hmm. well, you know, mm-hmm. that you can be susceptible to the scams.
For sure.
But, you've got a couple of, you've got some time. You've got like, 7 minutes to get in touch with us if you have any encounters with scams you'd like to get off your back. So you can let us know at Twitter and Instagram at BFM Radio and also, of course, on WhatsApp.
018-789-8899. Get in touch. Let us know if you were duped or almost duped by one of these scams.
Share your stories. Speaking of something that quite honestly sounds like a scam, our next story.
Yeah, so this is about a company that's backed by Toyota that sort of, it actually flew its first flying car.
Like an actual car?
So it's not a car. It looks like it's a one-seat sort of helicopter-looking thing.
Right.
But it's called a car.
Okay.
In a way. So car by the barest minimum.
We're not quite at like Jetsons level.
We're not Back to the Future DeLorean yet.
No, not yet.
No.
Okay.
So a startup called SkyDrive released a video of a pilot flying a car over the Toyota test field in Japan. Toyota finances the company and the project has been in years in the making. The ultimate goal is to create a flying taxi by 2023.
Mm.
It's one of the world's, of the world's more than 100 flying car projects, only a handful have succeeded with a person on board. So they have flown things like drones and stuff, but they haven't actually gotten to flying someone in the car. So this is kind of like a first. The single seat car is powered by a battery and four pairs of propellers. It lifts to 6 feet above the ground and hovers for roughly 5 minutes, so not a long time, not enough to get anywhere. A human pilot manned this car, which makes this test flight particularly significant and impressive. The car is 13 feet long and 6 feet high, enabling it to fit into two average parking spaces in a congested city. Mm-hmm. And in developed countries, flying cars are expected to be used as a means of transportation to ease traffic jams and respond in times of disaster. While in developing countries, they are likely to be used as a form of transportation that requires far less infrastructure. So, pretty interesting stuff. I mean, a manned flying car one of the first times, I think, is...
I mean, the fact that it lifted off with a human in it is quite, you know, quite shocking, I guess. But also, I mean, I think in terms of kind of congestion and stuff like that, the fact that it takes up the space of, what, two parking spaces, you were saying? That makes me a little, like, you know, you have to... It's still a matter of infrastructure, of making sure that there's, like, a landing space or something, mm-hmm. like a helicopter pad, but, like, for tiny helicopter flying car things.
Yeah.
You know, but also, you know, from a practical level as well, I don't know that I would get into a flying car.
Not yet.
No, but just in general, I'm scared of heights. So just on a practical level, and also the fact that it only goes for 5 minutes and can't really get you anywhere that you can't get to without walking.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, still
it's a good
step forward. And I'm pleasantly surprised to hear progress like this being made by a company that isn't Tesla.
Yeah.
That's another thing.
Yeah, backed by Toyota and stuff. Mm-hmm. So you're speaking about the 5 minutes. So that's the first phase. You can only fly for about 5 to 10 minutes at a low speed. But the next phase is to jump it up to about 40 miles per hour at a flight duration of 30 minutes.
Oh.
So 30 minutes is...
That's pretty legitimate.
Yeah. I mean, above ground,
get you places.
It'll get you a lot of places,
yeah.
I think. Yeah, at that height especially. So we have another WhatsApp that came in from David. So this is about our first story about the scams. David says that he got one from TNB. Oh. So calling and saying that they have not paid and they're about to disconnect. However, my phone is not registered with TNB. So that's how he found out that it's a scam.
I had a kind of similar run-in with a scam once where someone claiming to be from a bank called me and said that some fraudulent activity had been detected on my account, to which I followed the CF's advice and just hung up because I had to double check that I even had an account with that bank in the first place, which I don't, by the way. So how they got my number scares me. So that was kind of my run-in with the scam, with the online or phone scams that were very convincing. It was, and I did check, it was actually from like the legitimate number of the bank as well, and that was quite shocking.
Yeah, because sometimes you wonder where the information came from. Like if they, obviously they don't know where your account is, but they,
how did they know
to call you these things?
Yes.
Yeah, but I think that's a huge like sort of like telltale sign when you know that you have no account.
Yeah.
Like you've never been to that bank before.
But it kind of gave me like a bit of doubt. Like, do I just have an account I don't know about you know?
Yeah.
Anyways, we do have, I think, one more message.
We have this from RW, ABCOMRW, who says that Toyota flying car, how does that compare to the Malaysian flying car that sourced from China? I don't know. I don't know, honestly. That's a whole other conversation, I think.
Maybe a conversation for another day. But for now, this has been Enterprise Biz Bytes on BFM 89.9. As we've been talking about throughout the whole show today, our main question for you guys was what has been the most convincing online or phone scam that you've encountered? And that was because Arvin had a story about...
Yeah, we spoke about how this sort of like deception expert listed down why people get scammed, and especially now why people get scammed in the age of like COVID-19. Just adding this in, there's one message from one tweet from Dinesh who says that it happens. I know someone who does fraud investigations as a day job who lost 7,000 ringgit to a Macau scam artist in 2 hours.
Oh my goodness.
When asked why, she said that she felt like she was in a daze and just transferred the funds through an ATM before realizing what she had done. So I've heard many cases like this, interestingly, of people not realizing what they're doing, and before they know it, they've just lost 7, 8, 12,000 ringgit.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah.
Well, we heard from CF Fong, who was our expert for today, and we had some tips from him on how to avoid that.
Mm-hmm.
Our second story was the making of Muda Malaysia, which is the announcement of Syed Siddiq's new youth-based political platform, and we ended up with...
Yeah, we finished with a story about a company that's backed by Toyota that flew its first car.
Nice. Well, coming up after the 1 p.m. news bulletin is, of course, the Breakfast Grill replay with Lau Zhengzhou, a research manager in the Economics and Business Unit of Ideas, and Dr. Shankaran Nambiar, Senior Research Fellow, MIE. The MCO put in place to combat COVID-19 left a drastic impact on the economy, and since then, many have paid close attention to whether Malaysia will manage a quote-unquote V-shaped recovery. But what should Malaysians hope for beyond the short-term future, and could this crisis also pose as an opportunity to chart the kind of economic growth the country needs to see in the long term? I'm Christine Wong, and on behalf of Arvind Yuvaraj, you have been listening to Enterprise Biz Bytes here on BFM 89.9. Here, I'll leave you with Digital Witness by St. Vincent.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.